Hi. So, hi, and then I know it's a long day and there have been too many sessions, and then thanks for hanging around. And if somebody's interested in CI, just trying to say that the other room was also covering Beyond CI session, say in case if somebody's interested. So, you know, the long awaited session and little exciting session is about the effective SDN that we need for cloud stack. And then what I'm trying to cover here is like there have been some efforts on getting open source SDN solutions earlier, and then what we have been, most of the open source part didn't go through well for some time, or they haven't been taken up further. I'm just going to cover what are the challenges we have in the current environment of running an infrastructure cloud, how SDN is operating in the current days in terms of the open source initiatives, and then when you take it forward, how is that, you know, we can leverage those things and then bring in some, flexibility into the cloud stack networking environment so that we can, you know, embrace the SDN solutions quickly. So this is going to be the focus of my talk. About me, you know, I've been playing with packets for like 16 years. I've been working on Cisco routers in my early days, and then worked on network process. Started going up the class, and then, you know, somewhere in between, I was working for network drivers, Linux system, Linux networking subsystem in the kernel. I've been tweaking it. So NetFilter is one of my favorite areas, playing with IP tables and all. And then, you know, when things went on, within the last 6 to 7 years, I have been working on building an SDN controller for the other stack, the stack we don't name here. And then in this entire process, you know, so I have been traversing through several ages of several transitions within the networking domain across various vendors and then the emerging markets. And then currently I'm working for Accelerite, the team in Accelerite, if most of you may be aware, but in case if you're not aware, just for, you know, it's like it's a team with which has core contributions since inception, and the team that is comprising of the engineers are right from the cloud.com days, which transitioned into Citrix, and from here it's with the same vigor it has moved to Accelerite, and the core team is still intact, and then still we are committed to community, and then we have enough contributions going on in all fronts and across all the areas within the cloud orchestration. Now, going a little on this, all most of you know who have been using cloud stack, you know, if you look at the current thing, any typical infrastructure cloud, these are the traditional requirements. You need to have some sort of a guest network with some L2 domain. Yeah, so with some sort of isolation involved. And since you have multi-tenancy, you need to bring in some isolation using VLANs or some overlays. And then, based on it's an advanced thing or a basic environment, you end up having security groups or bring in some firewalls for some isolation, things like that. And then these are the standard set of services which are anyway required, right? This is okay if you had a cloud like 5 years ago. You could still survive and you can make a lot of things out of it. But if you look at the currently evolving ecosystem, within the evolving system, we have to support the traditional requirements the way they are. So you have to support the standard edge networks, you have to support the underlays and overlays the way they were. In addition to that, now we got bare metals to handle. And, you know, morning we had a session from Syed, who was trying to explain the challenges we went through bare metal within the current cloud stack environment. One bigger challenge, if you look at it, is like, you know, unlike a hypervisor environment where you have a lot of control on the way the networking can be done, the moment you talk about a bare metal, the entire networking front shifts to the physical switches or the top of the rack switches and the entire physical network environment that comes into picture. We still try to control a few things using a VR, but, you know, as you said, like, you're still running into you're running into a hardware trying to pass through a software solution, and then you'll run into the bottlenecks. So you have to have extensive hardware support, and then you need to be able to, you know, control multiple devices, orchestrate your services across the physical devices. So this is one challenge that bare metals bring in, right? Now on the other end, you know, it's like you have a bigger devil and you have a, you know, smaller devil. The moment you talk about containers, the way the containers are evolving, you have Kubernetes, you have Mesos. These are all, you know, they're all talking about the user requirements of solving a couple of things. But then when you look at the infrastructure aspects of it, the network is still complex. So you're trying to build overlays on top of a existing isolated network, which is already on some level of overlay. So you're building layers and layers and layers of, you know, networks, and then it's all getting, you know, complex. Now, the next requirements, if you look at it from a cloud stack perspective, recently we introduced even the VM groups. VM groups were there in some form, but then we are trying to bring in the application VM groups or service clusters so that you can bring in some PaaS sort of features together, so you can group a bunch of VMs and then come with some related properties so that you can, you know, you can manage them over a time, right? So this is translating into having layers and layers and layers of networks, and then, you know, it's not like, you know, the standard layer 7 of the network. Everywhere you end up doing the standard L3 at several layers, and then that's introducing a lot of complexity. And then, you know, now how do you tame this sort of complexity? Okay, we'll come to that. Now, these are the challenges which are emerging in our cloud environment as we go. At the next level, you know, this is what software-defined networking has been promising since, you know, at least more than a decade now. The basic thing it is, you know, it started with separating the control plane from your data plane so that you have brains and the muzzle get isolated, and then your brain has a better way of functioning so that you don't have to, you know, link too many things together. And, you know, at least if you consider the early days, you had a flow-based control so that you can catch up a particular session, and based on that, you can do a lot of fine-grained control over there, right? So this gave a different dimension to the way you could control every packet going into your, in and out of your devices. Another thing, you know, if you want to use a multicast based some sort of overlays, you could still set it up manually, but then if you want to do something unicast way, it's not straightforward. So you need to have a better understanding of your entire cloud environment, your distribution across the host, and then you have to do a lot of, you know, tweaking around to configure things quickly. So that's a challenge across the thing, and then you bring in SDN solution, you know, that would solve it, right? And then in addition to that, you know, you can have some underlay, overlay controls going together. So you don't have to just have an edge switch control. You can even go and enforce some of your policies or some sort of a configuration even on your underlying devices. You want some VLAN to pass through. It's not just on your edge switches. You can go and configure your top of the rack switches and get things done, right? This is the promises made by SDN earlier. And then a typical SDN control, and it is also simplifying a lot of operational complexities because you could have a single point of managing the things, and then you can drive things from a centralized location. Now, a typical SDN controller architecture would look like this, and there's nothing new in this. So there's a core of a controller, and then you have northbound APIs above it, on top of which you can build a lot of interesting apps, and depending upon the architecture of the controller we pick, we can write any simple apps, or based on the API you can write your own custom apps. You can come with some crazy solutions versus can come with a lot of real deployment. You can solve a lot of real deployment challenges. On the other end, you have southbound plugins which try to talk to various network devices using various protocols, various combination of, you know, various complexities across the devices, and all those things are pretty much solved using your southbound plugins. Now, based on how you pick your SDN controller, the if you look at it, you can have a funnel across the apps versus a funnel across your plugins, and then that gives you a variety of how it works within a given cloud environment, right? Now, if you look at the current state of the SDN, it's not just OpenFlow or just Open vSwitch, right? It's much more than that. What is it, right? So the current set of advanced services we are talking about are, you know, routing is given, that's happening, and then firewall is given. You can do even a stateful firewall across, distributed stateful firewall across the host, and then I could do NAT to a certain extent, static NAT, and then, static NAT you could do anyway. You could do SNAT to a certain extent across in a distributed manner. And then you could also do, to a certain extent, stateless load balancers. So you don't have to pass through a centralized endpoint to achieve a couple of these things. So you can easily build a distributed services which will minimize the load from a physical or a logical centralized appliance, right? So how we could leverage it could be like, you know, we could selectively offload some features from the VR onto the host so that the VR doesn't get loaded. I'll talk about this in the subsequent slides. The other major advantage of bringing in SDN is trying to do automation. And this is something which has picked up in the last couple of years, right? The important thing is, you know, the way the systems are evolving is they want to capture the intent rather than, you know, the actual specifics of getting things done. It's like, you tell me what you want, right? Don't tell me how to do it. This is what even a youngster would come back to you, right? So this is something which will give you scope for innovation so that you capture the high level of intent and then try to drive the specifics. So you don't want two group of VMs to talk to each other at any cost. But what will enable that to happen? Do I need to put a firewall in between? Should I put a security group? Or should I constrain them in some other form? Right, so leave that to the implementation, and then there could be some way of getting it done, right? So one way of doing this intent thing is now the most common frameworks that are coming around are intent-driven policy frameworks, which capture the intent at a very high level in terms of a policy and try to execute that policy. You can have a policy engine which will try to derive that into a specific rule or some sort of a configuration into various appliances. Right, so you just specify the network behavior that you intend should happen as a policy, and the policy engine or the system would derive the specific actions that need to be done. This will help you to react quickly and then with very minimal intervention from the operator of the network, right? So that'll give you a lot of advantage over the traditional way of, you know, I ran into trouble, I have to go troubleshoot it. Right. Now, a simple example for this would be having a dynamic QoS based on some application service. We should go and talk to the SDN controller and say, hey, I have one specific flow and this needs a different treatment, right? And then you may or may not be able to characterize it, all types of traffic flow upfront in a static manner. So you could take a SDN approach whereby SDN aware application can send a trigger to a controller and say, treat my traffic a little differently. Or this is a specific traffic, you have to treat it separately, right? So that will help in having a lot of flexible behavior in your network. And then you can have different SLAs based on the way you can drive the your customer experiences, right? A typical example of how intent could be specified. This will change from the solution to solution, but a typical way of taking an intent would be, you know, you specify a resource, call it firewall, or you talk about something like, you know, a very high level, a bunch of VMs or a particular service, like, you know, HTTP is like one service. You talk about one top level network resource. Define some constraints to it, like, you know, it can have some amount of this sort of bandwidth or some sort of thing. Define a criteria, like, you know, if it exceeds, if it is under a particular threshold, does it cross some limit, or is it going, you define what is an expected boundary for that particular behavior, and then you give an instruction saying, okay, you cross this limit of bandwidth, you know, start doing random early talk, or you know, start doing band limiting at some point. You don't want to introduce band limit or a particular thing, or you know, a particular thing started showing some extreme traffic pattern, right, which you were not intending to see earlier. Now start sending a copy of this traffic to my analyzer, right? So I can have a sort of idea sitting somewhere, and I can send a copy of this traffic to that, and that can be done dynamically without, you know, a particular, you know, admin getting involved and trying to monitor the traffic all the time. So this is something intention-driven system can easily achieve, right? In addition to this, this is another major advantage we get by introducing SDN into our cloud sort of environment is analytics, right? You know, now analytics has gone into several domains, and then everybody has their own definition of, you know, getting some insights into the system. The specific thing we can look at with respect to our network analytics is that you can get visibility into the system, like, you know, what is the topology? I mean, initially we brought up something, but then how is it happening? Like, you know, there's some live migration due to some system maintenance, and then your traffic patterns are changing more than the way you have initially planned, right? So based on that, you know, you can come with various policies over a time. So you need visibility into how the current network state is, right? And then you may, it's not just like, you know, I pick a device and then say, okay, what is the maximum bandwidth passing through this device? It doesn't stop there. So basically, you may want to characterize it based on the cloud user perspective. You know, there's one particular user, and then, or a particular account or a domain, how is his behavior across my entire infrastructure? Is there a noisy neighbor sort of a scenario? Is he posing some extra challenges which I haven't foreseen earlier? These are some things we can gain by, you know, having some extra network visibility sort of a environment around, right? And then another thing it's going to help us in is doing the failure analysis. Like one example, as I mentioned, is like you see some varying traffic patterns. You saw some, you know, unexpected bursts. Now you want to do analysis on the traffic. Now, if it was a human, it would be very difficult. If you had some intent-based thing, and then that is diverted to your ideas, and then with some extra analytics put together, you can actually do a lot of, you know, failure analysis for short-term things. You know, something went wrong for like 3 minutes, and then it's fine again now. What went wrong at that 3 minutes? An operator would have no clue, right? And then you just go through some statistics here and there, and that will not give you any idea. But then if you start monitoring at a very fine grain level, which a controller can do, and then start dumping them at some point, and then you can take some, you know, predictive analytics, or you know, you can just do offline analytics based on your time, your network state at that time, you can gain much better idea on what went wrong, right? And this is something which you know, which is in a sort of a gray area. Many of there's a common ask across just within the applications is like, you know, how is my application behaving in terms of the networking, right? So I can go profile my application, understand my latency characteristics and all, but then am I making right choices when I pick some particular traffic model? Like within my application, I was planning some asynchronous model. Not everywhere. Now another big challenge is like you don't have, you know, system-aware application programmers, right? So everybody's just happy picking some Python code and then start coding it, and then I saw some very interesting library and they start using it. You just don't know how it would behave on a network level. Now, one common ask is like, you know, can you do some application level analytics at a network level, right? So try to tell me what is the average latency of some particular type of query that is going on, which you can actually map it. So if it's like some sort of a REST API, you could see when the call went through, you can see when the response came back. You could do some of these things if you had a sort of an ADC or even a basic load balancer would give you to a certain extent, but it's not always that sort of traffic, right? So if you have some other non-standard traffic, which is not where it doesn't go through some sort of a centralized entity, the network statistics can give you a lot of, you know, a big picture on how your application is behaving. And that, I mean, given the high performance environment, this analytics will be very useful in tuning your application further. Now, these are the advantages we can get from introducing SDN in some form into the operational state of a cloud. Now, how do we do it? Here are some suggestions. This is open for debate, and then the idea is to, like, you know, weigh in some options, and then we start some discussion in the community and see how we take it forward, right? So one major alternative is Open Daylight. We had one level of integration of Open Daylight, you know, a couple of years back when Open Daylight was also in very nascent stages, and then we had one hydrogen version of the Open Daylight, but the latest version, Boron, is pretty stable. And then the entire Open Daylight environment is like vendor driven, and but it's still vendor agnostic, as like a bunch of vendors have worked together to bring in that thing. And then it's mature, feature rich, and it's pretty much built for the cloud. It does work with several environments. It has very good you know, synergy with the cloud environment, right? The other major alternative we have is Onus project. This is again another stable project, which has its open networking operating system, which is used for the NFE environment, but works pretty good with a cloud environment. And then this is from the carrier. This is a carrier initiative, right? So the NFE is coming from that side. And then the good thing I liked about Onus is like it has very good documentation. You want to get started, you want to integrate, things are pretty easy, and then it's fast moving. Open Daylight has a vast base. Onus is good, and it is pretty fast. I mean, from the time it has started, it has picked up very quickly, right? The other things, want to be a little cautious here. So we have Project Calico. It is built to be scalable. They have a different approach of solving some of this overlay things. They support both containers and bare metals. They're good in some point. They may or may not have features the way we are looking for in a typical cloud environment. They do solve some of them, right? And the other one, you know, this is one of the older SDN controller in the open source, is the OpenContrail, and then they have their own version of having a vRouter internally, and then it's restricted to Xen and KVM, which is, anyway, VMware is a closed world for most of us, so that's a challenge. Both these open source projects on the right side, you know, mark them red because they're not completely open source in the sense the code is available as a Apache license thing. I guess both of them are Apache license, but the challenges, they are driven by a particular, you know, a particular organization, and then I haven't seen a community initiative too much on that side. So it's pretty much like one vendor driven thing. So, but they do have some pros over the other things. If you take my personal choice, you know, Open Daylight has been the best so far. It has been thriving, and then there's a lot of value in going there. Now, how do we take this into the cloud stack, right? I think I may be running short of time. What I'll try to do is, I'll just try to go and explain the approach which I have in mind, which we should start debating, is that, you know, we should not try to bring in SDN controller as a replacement to the existing network or the existing network providers. The way the approach should be, like, you know, you have VR, let it do a couple of things, and then whatever you can do in a distributed fashion and which could reduce the load on the VR, you should try to move it on. So basically use SDN as offload. So that is something which we should start looking at. So a typical option would be, like, you know, have a network offering coming up with extra options saying offload this to an SDN solution. No, don't just try to do, you know, don't override everything with the SDN solution. That will give us some, you know, breathing space to start with. This is some part of it. I was having some discussion with you even earlier, but then what this will try to, this is one thing. The other part is, like, you should have a parallel paths within our networking model. It's like, you know, if you want to talk about load balancer, it's either VR or NSX or a specific thing. What about a solution where you have a particular resource requirement, you just put it and then let bunch of service providers pick it? You can have a multi-service provider environment whereby if you have something to be done at a bare metal, it will derive its intent from there. If you have something to be done at edge network, it will derive something from there. So that is something, we may have to rework some of the networking model within the cloud stack so that it'll help in that sort of evolution and flexibility in introducing the services. So I think I'm running short of the time, so I'll just skip to the couple of challenges. Now, the moment we bring in this sort of SDN solution, what happens is part of our policies are the configuration is stuck in the cloud stack and a part of it will be in the SDN controller. So we need to come up with some challenges in bringing that consistency and having a sync across them. And then another bigger challenge is collating the usage statistics for billing purposes. For any reason, you're segregating the services across the two environments, we need to bring in some synergy there, right? And then the other bigger challenge is we want to solve some placement challenges. So you can do some network analytics and then based on that you figure out, placing a couple of them across these sort of racks or based on my application requirements, removing them at some particular cluster will be more a physical cluster would be more effective. That sort of feedback can actually come back into your thing. As a human, you could make the decision, but within the cloud stack, we should provide that feedback into the planner so that we can do an effective way of reworking the VM placement problem. So that is something which is like a big value to the operators and the users in getting a lot of performance problems solved. Now, going forward, my suggestion is leverage from the successful communities, and focus on integration collaboration rather than trying to solve the problems in-house. So it doesn't have too much value in trying to build some half-cooked SDN solution. I know there was some effort that went in I think at least 3 years ago, and then we don't have a complete solution. If we start trying to build something in-house, we may be stuck at some point. It's always better to leverage from the some sort of a domain experts and then try to integrate it. So most of our things should be if we can push our requirements into the a proper community and then leverage the advantages or all the existing advancements in the other communities, we'll be able to catch up very quickly. And then anyway, so that's the idea. So with this, I'll end my thing. I'm already by 2 minutes.
We're just a minute over time, so if you, I don't know, the next speaker should be Esra?
Yeah.
Okay. So while this sets up, if you want to answer any questions that people
sure.
have.
Sorry.
Yeah, and there was honestly a lot of parallels between what we were talking about and what we actually discussed in the head on Tuesday afternoon.
Right. I actually missed their packet and they should have been around and then.
Well, it was more of a round table than a hackathon. But I mean, we're all feeling that exact same pain, right? Dan and I were talking about it again earlier, but really, we want Cloud Stack to ultimately be a great orchestrator. It doesn't need to be everything to everyone, right? And that's be able to leverage projects outside of it to do these complex network interactions, makes a lot of sense, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, or storage, or anything. Yeah. we don't need to reinvent the wheel, right?
That's true.
It's very easy to go down that road sometimes, but it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, right?
So one more question. How do you feel about the networks being consumed by CloudStack versus the ones being provided to customers? in my view, they should be exactly the same, right? So if we consume some kind of SDN solution, we should also be able to provide the services that that solution offers to guest networks. Basically, that's the main use case.
So that's a two-pronged thing. So most of the time, this is anytime you introduce SDN, it's more to ease the life of an operator in maintaining the data center. Right? So within the cloud environment, you have more finer control. Most of this is hardly visible to the actual consumer. He just is happy with the API. He just wants to isolate your network. He's happy as long as he got it. But sometimes they want to enforce some additional SLAs through which they can have some finer control. If we can introduce that sort of intent framework, now how you go and implement it, that's where the SDN control comes in. So the user should be decoupled in the form he consumes, and then the way it gets implemented, then that's where that's where the operator gets a choice. The user does not get involved. Where the user will have a finer, the advantage of this thing is like introducing the intent environment, introducing analytics, sort of the remaining whatever data we capture from that, if we can provide richer analytics to the user, those will be the things which the user will see the difference. But otherwise, if somebody is happy with just getting a network at all and just launch some VMs, and then, so you won't see any much difference. But operator will see tremendous value to spending this.
But is that also true for the VPC, for instance?
Yeah, the user must be able to have a more fine-grained control of firewall between tiers, or maybe in defining the gateway to another VPC, or the user, in the end, the user will want more than just what we give them. They always want more. So in the end, we'll have to give them somehow some level 2 network in which they can do everything. And at that moment, it becomes important that what we consume is also what we provide.
Yeah, so that is in that aspect, networking is like little tough nut to crack, because operators don't want to give away the network control, because that's a challenge, right? So at the same time, you need to have enough flexibility for the users to take advantage of the system. So that's a fine grained control. So that's a challenge which causes
this. Yeah, that's one web that we defined as well.
Okay.
Too bad you weren't there.
That's a great discussion to get started, though, right? And I think more discussion around this stuff than anything else about being here this week. So I think it's a hot topic that we need to bring up on the list, and I see it's lag and really start talking through where we all want to go. So to your point, so we can collaborate and do it once rather than 50 times,
exactly.
50 different ways.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you all.
Great. Yeah, thank you.